Welcome to Tilted, a lean-in podcast. Each week, we explore the uneven playing field, the gender bias that lurks in unexpected places, the impact it has on our everyday lives, and what happens when women lean in and start driving change. I'm your host, Rachel Thomas, co-founder and president of Lean In. Today, I'm so excited. I'm coming to you from Lean In's annual Leaders Conference. And for those of you who don't know what it is, and that's probably most of you, it's a gathering of our top community leaders from around the world. We call them Lean In Leaders, and they run small networking groups called circles. A lot of people also don't realize how big and global our community is. We have members in over 160 countries, from Canada to France, and from Brazil to India. Every time I talk to women who run circles, I am struck by two things: how different the challenges women face are around the world, but also how similar the fundamentals are. No matter where we live in the world, women experience gender bias, and no matter where we live, we benefit from the support of other women. So I'm excited. I had the chance to sit down with three of our inspiring leaders to talk about their experiences: Akuska Sanz from Barcelona, Alexa Krissa from Atlanta, Georgia, and Uma Thana, who grew up in Malaysia, lives in Singapore, and runs Women in Tech Asia. What does being a feminist mean to you?
It means a lot. You know, at home, we never really had, like, very candid discussions. It was just my parents shared roles and responsibilities. And so, you know, the idea of gender roles has always been very fluid. My brother is actually transgender. So feminism is the female lens and view into equality.
Uma, you're nodding a lot. What does it mean to you?
So I grew up with you know, my mother bring the breadwinner to the family because the year that I was born, my father had a heart attack, survived. He was a mechanic and my mother was a nurse. And she said, you know, you're not going back to work anymore because I'm really worried. So she raised two kids on, at that time, what would have been a salary of $500 US a month. And so I watched her raise kids, go to work, and she expected my father to learn how to cook, get the kids to school, do the gardening, etc., much to the dismay of my father's mother, because that's not what she expected him to do. And so for me, quite simply, you know, the ability to make the choices that you want to make for yourself and living it with authenticity.
Akuska, what does it mean for you?
So for me, it means just basic equality. And I think it means freedom. I live on my own. I can go to the movies. I can walk home at 4 a.m., no issues. I feel free, you know. But I've traveled a lot. I've lived in other countries. And I think it's not something I think. Like, that's not the case, you know. That's just something that we take for granted, certainly in Spain and in many European countries. And it's not the case. So I think feminism, ultimately, it's about freedom, individual and collective freedom.
Yeah.
It's an important moment for women in Spain right now. Can you tell us about that a little bit and how that's impacting kind of you as a woman in Spain and your circle and your community there?
Yeah, it is. It really feels like we're having our Me Too kind of moment or movement or year. There was this very high profile rape case with 5 perpetrators, men rapists, and 1 victim. And because of the violence of the case and the how the media portrayed everything and the fact that they're free, waiting for trial, living their lives, it just rocked the country to its core. So there's like before and after of this event. And so Women's International Day on March 8th, for the first time ever, there was a feminist strike. So there was a nationwide walkout and hundreds of thousands of women joined. And this is the first time in history, and I've never seen anything like that. So they were marching, they were demonstrating, they were telling their male colleagues, we're not going to work, or I'm going to work and then I'm going to go to the march and I'm not going back. So it's been a shift. Now we have a majority feminine cabinet, for example. So things are shifting, and I think we're living in a very, very interesting moment.
So Alexa, obviously a very different part of the world than Barcelona and Spain, but you're running your community in Atlanta, and it must be really interesting. You know, on one hand, Atlanta is one of the world's great cities. It's huge. It's modern. It attracts people from all over the world. And on the other hand, there's kind of this old school notion of Southern womanhood. Mm-hmm. And that goes back many generations. And I know it still persists to some degree. So what is that like? And you know, how do you think about that?
Yeah, it's very interesting at home right now. And I think what we see is a lot of women who are nearly needing to like apologize or qualify, like, hey, I think I'm ready to like take off my pearls and you know, elevate myself and be okay with being a champion for myself. I think that the idea of making yourself small is something that is really, really hard to change in the South, especially where, you know, we have the I forgot the name of the golf course, but where they have the Masters, right? Women weren't allowed to.
Augusta?
Yeah, Augusta. Yep. Like, women aren't allowed to be members. It's very bizarre because then you go back into Atlanta where we all live and Sarah Blakely is the CEO of Spanx. And so, you know, you turn one corner and there's progress and there's these, you know, beautiful visions of what society could be like, and then you turn another one and there's some ugly hatred, there's racial divisiveness. But I think we're definitely seeing a shift.
Cool. Uma, I see you nodding a lot, and you run circles all across Asia. So this is like different countries, different cultures. This is complicated. So what is it like supporting women across so many different cultures and belief systems? And
yeah, so firstly, we're at a very initial stage of doing that. So the network's called Women in Tech Asia. And there's three circles right now, and it's mainly focused in Singapore because that's where I live. Sure. And there's about 900 members there. But I'm also a vice president in a global tech company that takes care of 15 different markets. So I do get to interact with men and women in these economies. So it's very diverse, I would say. Firstly, let me just say, for all of those economies, we are making progress, and that's good news. But, you know, Japan is very traditional. It is about the 100-year calendar on the wall when you're doing business. So very traditional in thinking, but they have made some progress. Now, generally, women were expected to quit after marriage simply because access to childcare and support for childcare outside of your home was not very popular. But today, if I travel to Japan for business, I do see very young kids coming out of daycare centers. So there's more of those coming up, which means that mothers get to go back to work earlier. In Indonesia, there's a lot of successful women who are executives. And then for them, maybe not the major, but one of the most common one things to think about is how do they walk the tightrope? So being aggressive and making bold decisions for their businesses, yet being feminine and being motherly-like, if you will. In India, a lot of women work. I'm Sri Lankan. And they're expected to have equal effort. But then you also see the State Bank of India, one of the largest banks in India, did this brilliant commercial about how women should save. And she does have a say. So there is no one size fits all,
right,
for Asia.
Yeah. But getting real for a second, there's a lot of really good guys out there, but there's some pretty cruddy guys out there too. Talk to me, and you're all smiling. We all know. Talk to me a little bit about, like, when have you experienced sexism, and, you know, or kind of what is the ugly side of this that you've been seeing, and what are you doing about it, and are you talking about it in your circles? Is it coming up a lot?
Yeah, so I work in tech, so that probably is more prevalent given the dominance of men, especially at leadership level. There was one year where I was at a very large global conference, and we were sitting down and having dinner. There was about 12 of us, and I was the only woman, and there was a reporter that wanted to take a photo of all of us. So we took a photo. And then I've only told this story once on stage. Someone grabbed my ass. And I couldn't figure out who it was. And I was so stunned, despite all of my intelligence and awareness and everything. So I sat down at my chair and I did the process of elimination of who could have possibly been, and then I figured out who it was. And I was in such a state of shock, I actually didn't talk about it for a year. You know, that's the story that I can think of right now. I'm sure these ladies have other stories.
I have a very similar story. I was living abroad. I wasn't living in Spain at the time. I was at the general manager's office. It was a big corporation. And there was the whole C-suite there. We were doing some human HR meeting. And I have a tattoo on my shoulder. And the general director, like the vice president, came and touched my shoulder in front of everybody, like with a...
She's caressing her shoulder, for those of you who can't see her.
Well, nice tattoo.
Yeah.
And I sat there like, you can't touch me. Like, you're not my friend. You can't touch me. And then I was so angry at myself because I didn't say anything. But what could I have said? Like, you know, in front of everybody, like, don't touch me, please. You know, it would have sounded so harsh. And it was in another country where it's way more conservative. And I have no problem in saying that. But
I didn't know what... You'd be the angry blonde woman.
Yeah. The angry foreigner.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to say, but I felt so bad afterwards, and your case is worse, but you know, it's my shoulder, you don't get to touch it. And when we talk about it at Lean in Barcelona, it's way more about microaggressions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we talk a lot about, and we're actually doing a workshop on microaggressions this fall because it's been one of the requests from our attendees.
How about for you, Alexa?
I was in one of my first like big girl job interviews and had no idea, kind of the rose-colored glasses, right? Like, oh, here I am. I'm going to work. And I'm in a second round interview with a company, and the guy like sits back in his chair and he's like, so I know how 23-year-old girls are. How can you convince me that you're not about to get engaged? You're not about to go run off to New York? Like, how can you convince me that you're going to stay? And I didn't know what to do. I was like, I don't know what's normal. I don't know what's not normal. And, you know, I left still wanting that job. And I'm very fortunate. I was interning at the time in a magazine, at a pregnancy and newborn magazine, actually. So I went back to this office of strong women and I was like, this didn't feel right. And they were like, it's because it's not right. And, I keep that one in my back pocket to remind myself, like, you know, these things happen, but we grow.
Yeah, it's so interesting, though. Like, we have to release ourselves of this, right? Because I'm thinking of, you know, we all have our own stories. And what I'm struck by is it is disorienting, but we're kind of blaming ourselves.
Yes.
Yep. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's not us, it's them. Like, so it is really interesting that we still do that. I'm curious, and I'm just putting you on the spot, so you might not know, but if you were going to go back to your younger self, your 23-year-old self now, knowing what you know, both because of your own life experiences and some of the research that we now know about women's experiences, like, what would you do differently? Or what would you say to yourself?
God, I mean, I would say, like, you don't need this. You don't want this. Like, you deserve to be spoken to as an equal.
I think you said the right words. Like, you are an equal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's where the power of circles come in.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's the generation coming up behind us now, the millennials. I mean, if we look at our volunteer group for Lean In, it's just over 200. And I'd say more than 50% of them are millennials. And they're forming circles, et cetera. So I think it's very inspiring because they now want to get more educated. So if you're saying, you know, go back to your 23-year-old selves, we are seeing 23-year-olds now wanting to be educated. They want to know more. They want to know what to do. They want to learn how to negotiate, sit at the table. So we come with scars, and I think that's the power that we bring to bring the women behind us a little bit faster forward.
One phrase I heard, which was the power of circles, which was amazing. And, you know, I think we all kind of, we get that sitting at the table. But so that's one piece. And then the other thing that's really clear is that all the cultures are different. You know, Atlanta is so different from Barcelona, which is so different from Singapore. And of course, Asia more broadly. These are complicated issues and they're a little different, you know, no matter where you are in the world. But talk to me really specifically, like, why does circles work? Like, what happens in your circles? Like, how is it helping you address, like, what's uniquely happening in your area? And I know that's a big question, so just kind of take a bat at it, but I'm curious what you think.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we've grown from 21 circles to now 84 in the last year or so.
Which is just amazing.
Yeah, thank you. And that's because Helen and I felt really strongly that that was going to be the most powerful thing that we could do to make an impact for women. So I think if you talk to the women in the circles in Singapore, number one, they say, you know, yes, such a simple concept. Why didn't we think of this before? Because when we say circles, I mean, it's really important to explain this isn't a circle of friends. This is the way that we do it in Singapore is to the three C's, the commitment, the communication, the confidentiality. And it is about coming together. You commit. So my own circle, you know, we say we're going to be married to each other for a year and then we're going to, right, renew our vows that we're going to stay committed, right? As long as we're all in town, we're going to meet once a month. And I think the power is when they all come together and talk openly about the challenges in the workplace. Number one, they feel, oh my God, I'm not alone. Yes. It's not just me.
Yeah, we're all nodding vigorously. Yeah. Yes.
The second is that peer-to-peer support works in both ways. One, to validate, okay, should I, you know, I want to be CEO someday. And if I went out and my friends, my normal friends would say, yeah, of course. You know, if they don't select you, it's them. It's not you. Whereas my circle would say, okay, what have you done to plan to be CEO? What steps are you taking? You said you were going to do that. Did you do it? So that's the commitment and skills building part of the circle that I think makes a huge difference. The third is the power of stories, I think. That, you know, we talk openly. And I, you know, I was at Standard Chartered Bank and International Women's Day, and I told the story of my first two lean-in moments, which is, you know, I left university, which I put myself through. My parents couldn't afford to do it. And I was sleeping on single mattresses on the floor with three other girls. And one of them had a sister that worked for IBM that knew about this IBM distributor that was going to hire a fresh graduate systems engineer role. And so that was my first lesson, the power of networks. That's how I got the interview. But then when I got there, he offered me the job on the spot. And I was so desperate to sleep on my own bed that I said he needed to pay me 400 ringgit, that's Malaysian ringgit, more. And, you know, he was so surprised. It's like this fresh graduate, Asian colored woman just is negotiating. I had no strategy whatsoever. I just wanted to sleep in my own bed. And very recently, a woman that was sitting at that event on International Women's Day at Standard Chartered Bank came up to me and she said, I heard your story about sleeping on your own bed. I rocked up to my manager last week and I said, I want this promotion and here's why. And he gave it to her. They're now moving her to London, one band higher, and she's going to start Lean in London for Standard Chartered Bank.
That's amazing.
Wow. I think that's amazing because, and that has happened in our circle as well. It's just, you just have to ask.
Yep.
Ask for it. Like you have, if you don't ask for it, the no is there.
I'm left with two things. So one is this is the biggest story we hear over and over again, you know, at Leaning headquarters, which really kind of inspires us, keeps us going. And I'm so glad to hear it's been your experience as well. But this just idea that, you know, one woman talks to her circle about something she wants to do or, you know, that she feels like she's underpaid or whatever it is. And the circle, you know, says, go get it. And not only just go get it, sometimes we'll practice negotiating with her or kind of help her figure out how to go out and do it. And then she comes back and she's been successful. And then so the second woman goes, I can go do it too. And then the third woman. And it's this idea we talked about earlier, like just this compounding effect, because this is the number one story that we hear where you know you're driving real change. And one of the things that's really interesting is we conduct the Women in the Workplace study every year, which you guys all know about it because we talk about it all the time. But for those of you listening, it's the largest study on the state of women in the workplace in the United States. And we're slowly going to start going global, which we're really excited about. But we're seeing that women are now negotiating at the same rates as men. You know, they're asking for raises. They're asking for promotions. And 10 years ago, that was far from true. Men asked for more, and so they got more. And so I just love hearing this because I really think the takeaway is, and lean-in circles are playing a little role in this. You know, there's lots going on in the world why women are speaking up more and standing up more for themselves. But for me, the takeaway is women are doing our part. So, like, now what is everybody else going to do, like, for us? But so anyway, that story just always, like, lights me up, because I think it's such a big part of the change that we're all trying to drive in the world.
Absolutely.
Huge thanks to Akuska, Alexa, and Uma. Your stories are so powerful. They paint a very clear picture that women still face too many barriers. But they also show how women are supporting each other and charging ahead, and that's really exciting. Thank you for your leadership, and thank you for being such badass women. We will be right back after a message from our sponsor, and then we'll hear how Circles are helping women in El Salvador. Welcome back. Now we're going to hear from Naomi Hernandez. Naomi is another one of our amazing leaders. She's in El Salvador, and she's going to tell you in her own words how she's using Circles to lift up women in the poorest corners of her country.
My name is Naomi Hernandez, and I am the Director of Operations for Vayamos Adelante en Comunidad in El Salvador y en Guatemala. El Salvador is going through a very difficult period right now. We have high rates of violence. It has been named the murder capital of the world in 2015. We also have the highest rate of violence against women in Latin America. We know that we have to fight exactly that perception that this violence is normal, and we have to start at the core. We have to start in families, and when children, you know, are being raised with this perception and this contextual violence that they see all around them, especially in the communities that we visit, we know that that's exactly where change can start and should start. So we tropicalized the idea and went to do and try out a lean-in circle in an open park. And the idea was to use cinema and entertainment to help communities restore hope and restore the capacity to dream. In El Salvador, there is a lot of hopelessness right now, and we saw this as a vehicle to bring safe, healthy family entertainment to these communities that have never probably been able to actually go to a movie theater. And so we bring the movie to them, and we install a huge inflatable screen in an open area. It can be a park or a public plaza. And so we create a festival for them. So the entire community is welcome. We go to schools, we go to public areas, we go to cultural houses, and we invite the entire community. Women are the heart of these communities that we were visiting. They are essential, not only for raising their families, which they are doing, and they are, you know, a lot of the times they are the single breadwinners, but then they are also essential for restoring peace in the families and in the community as a whole, in the neighborhood. So with the women that we work with, we realized that we had to get to the very basics. We have to first help them to see value in themselves. It's like actually developing their self-esteem from zero. Sometimes we have had women that start crying in the moment because they say, I cannot say these words. I have never been told that I am valuable, so I don't believe it. If I say it out loud, it feels weird. And so it's starting out there at that moment and actually looking at their eyes and really believing for themselves when they cannot believe for themselves that they are valuable. At the beginning, I thought, I was doubtful, and I thought, I don't know if they are going to actually open up with people that they have never talked and that they have never met. And it's in an open area. And I imagine they're going to feel concerned about privacy. But there is so much thirst for these spaces because these women, you know, they became mothers, a lot of them very early, like in teenage years, and they had to stop school, and a lot of them don't have a partner to share the load with. And so a lot of the times they think that they are alone, but in fact, there are many cases that are similar within their neighborhoods. And so what we are creating is this safe support system among them. And, you know, it's themselves that they actually start leading the circles afterwards. Our hope with all this that we are doing is that by lifting up these women and building up their confidence, it will create a ripple effect that in turn will lift up the entire community.
We covered a lot of ground today, and wow, are these leaders amazing. I hope today's episode left you feeling inspired by what's possible when women come together and push for change in our lives, our workplaces, and our communities. If you're interested in learning more about circles, I hope you are, please text Lean In to 555-888 or visit us online at leanin.org/circles. And to see some photos from today's episode, especially Naomi's souped-up truck in El Salvador, check out my Twitter feed at Rachel S. Thomas. Please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Our producers are Jordan Bell and Cheryl Morris. Special thanks to Katie Mizrani, Ali Borer, Megan Rooney, and Sarah Mazel from the Lean In team, and Laura Mayer at Stitcher. Our engineer is Ryan Roberts, and our music was composed by Casey Holford. This has been Tilted. I'm your host, Rachel Thomas.